All right, so looking at the 2022 Statement of Theology, did you find that not baptizing babies was bringing out the end of evangelicalism, or is there still hope? Or I guess what I should ask is, what are some things that you took away from your overview, from your look? But what were some of the surprises? What were some of the things that shocked you?
Well, yeah. And I mean, besides the attendance thing, one of the things that we did notice is that there is a huge problem among evangelicals and evangelical attenders of people affirming things that sound good about God. Like I know this is a maybe a weird thing to say, but we live in a society where accepting people is helpful, is good, right? So when statement 3 says God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, we find evangelicals answering over 50% strongly agree, or you know, almost over 50% strongly agree, over 50% saying they agree, and almost a third saying strongly disagree, which is the correct answer, that God doesn't accept the worship. Like, what is worship except for worship has to be done in spirit and truth. How can you worship if you don't have the Spirit of God and if you're not worshiping in truth, which is through Christ? And so, but that sounds like a nice thing. Like, wouldn't a nice God accept their worship? Like, okay, it's the thought that counts. Like, you know, you got a present from your child who, it's like a weird little drawing, and they say it means, you know, the little scribbles means I love you, Dad, or something like that. It's the thought that counts, right? That's how God would feel. But that's not what the word says. And another one, like God, statement number 4, God learns and adapts to different circumstances. And you find almost half of evangelicals and over half of general respondents saying, oh yeah, yeah, obviously. Because that sounds like the thing that you would expect a good God to do, you know, adapt and learn. Right? That's what a good person does. So wouldn't that be what God does? Well, of course, he's omniscient. He knows everything. He can't learn. My dad always liked to tell me that God has the ultimate learning disability. He can't learn a single thing because he knows everything, and everything that has happened, everything that will happen, everything that could happen, everything that is happening. And he doesn't adapt because he himself is, you know, maybe this is controversial, but he is the one who decrees the end from the beginning. You don't adapt to what you decree.
No, he looks down the corridors of time and realizes what the hand he's dealt with, and then he's a good card shark, so he knows how to come with the cards.
Yeah, and then, right. Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God, statement number 6. That's not true. Jesus is not created. In fact, that's one of the first great heresies that had to be confronted. Arianism was the idea that Jesus was a created being. He was not. He was God from all eternity, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, Nicene Creed says. And 70% of evangelical believers strongly agree to that statement. And so this is a thing that I think I don't even know how do you start working with that, to be like, sometimes what sounds like a nice thing, and maybe this is all about, I think I have this big problem with evangelicalism, their toxic niceness of always wanting to say things that sound nice and never wanting to ruffle any feathers, never rock the boat, never, you know, for instance, not a single one of them would ever say overturn tables and whip people with a whip of cords. Because that wouldn't be nice, and that's not what Jesus would do. I think maybe that's part of it, is this toxic niceness that we want to affirm things that sound nice about God. But I think that's something that evangelical churches need to look at, because the way we've been training pastors for the longest time, and this is something that actually I if you don't follow me on Twitter, you should, because I'm amazing on Twitter. Sorry, I'm just kidding. But one of the things that I tweeted, there was this teachers union hack who was going into Southern Baptist fire and brimstone preacher mode over how great it was to be an educator. And everybody was like, oh, but it's not a religion, huh? And like, yeah, that's a good point. But I also was like, but I'm going to take a different tack on this, because what this shows me is the thing that we've been saying doesn't work in churches, and that we've been training pastors saying we need to have this more irenic tone, more calm. Like, don't thunder from the pulpit. People get turned off by that. Everyone else knows that actually that works. Like, everyone else in every other circle, they know that pounding the pulpit and shouting and using excessive hand movements and stuff like that, that is actually what fires people up and gets them excited about things. And it shows that you think it's serious. And when we talk like this, though, it makes it seem like everything, like, it's not really that big of a deal. And so I think there is a problem of how we're training pastors to be less offensive. Not that we're supposed to be intentionally offensive, but that if that's the high goal is to be less offensive, then we do train people to be toxically nice, both in their attitudes and actions, which means we're never going to confront sin. Evangelism is never actually about preaching the gospel, but it's about, you know, kind of generically Jesus loves you, which doesn't actually mean anything because, okay, cool. Like, I think it's Paul Washer is like, oh, great. We have so much in common. I love me. But we need to, it creates that kind of toxic attitude, but also it actually does affect our theology. We just want to say things that sound nice about God without being like, okay, so, but what is really true?
So are you saying that then we need more Jesus at the movie gospel messages to bring in people so that we can evangelize the best way?
Shockingly, I'm going to say no.
Oh man.
I'm not going to advocate that. But I think there's something like good old fashioned expositional preaching. I think it's a great start. I say it's a start because I don't think it's the everything. I know a lot of expositional churches, so-called expositional churches, that are still peddling kind of weak sauce. But starting with just verse by verse exposition of picking your sermons based on a text and then picking up wherever you left off last week on next week's message. Like, I think my favorite John Calvin story, named one of my children partially after John Calvin. So I'm a big fan of John Calvin. Got my Five Solas shirt on, so you might expect. My favorite story is he gets kicked out of Geneva, which goes against everything we've heard about him being a iron-fisted dictator over the city of Geneva. He got kicked out of Geneva for 3 years, and he actually never wanted to come back. But they begged him to come back, and eventually he came back. So he gets up to preach the following Sunday, and like, okay, what's he going to do? Where's he going to start? He picks up exactly where he left off 3 years prior. He just opens up the Bible to where he left off when he got kicked out of the pulpit 3 years ago, and he just picks up and continues. And I think there's something amazing about that. Yeah. Like, we're going to just preach what God says we're going to say. I'm going to say what God says we're going to say by going verse by verse. And I think that's a big part of it, of getting the truth out there, is just saying, whatever everyone else says, we're going to stand on what this says, you know?